always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Feeling the groove. By the way, Pete Shepard, I missed your Masterpiece Theater last Tuesday. What was the selection?
What did I do? I don't even remember.
Can't remember? That was almost a week ago. So,
But without you guys giggling and say it was a little, it wasn't the same. But it was a good one. It wasn't. It was kind of modern.
Yeah.
If I remember.
Yeah.
I forget. I have my notes in the other room that I wrote that I keep stuff for a week before I toss them. But
I got you.
I forgot.
More important than things, Chris had that look in his eye again. Hot tip, Skittle-wise, Man U just starting off against Southampton. And
pronouncing team names correctly. wow.
Did it start yet?
Yeah, it just kicked off.
Yeah, it just started.
Wow.
In fact, Chris gave me the hot tip of -1.5 on this for Man U, and then I put it in. I'm good. I'm Skittles locked and loaded. Double figures, by the way, going
wow.
large. And then I wanted to go back on the over under, and now it's not on the board. It'll pop back up
wow.
in a minute.
I had a three and one week last week. And my big one was Caligari earlier in the week, and it was a horrible game.
Terrible.
Evan did a 0-0 tie. Didn't end in a 0-0 tie, but I had Caligari plus a half a goal for the first half and plus one for the second half. So a win-win for me.
I tell you, I cleaned up on the fourth of Joey Chestnut, both on the total and the
by one.
Oh.
I told you.
I know.
It was a lock.
I forgot. No. I totally forgot to do it. And no, he only covered by one, right? He covered by one dog.
Yeah.
Wasn't it 74?
Yeah, but the heady play there was the margin of victory. He was set at 15.5, and he won by like almost 30 dogs.
Oh, he blew by that.
Oh,
crushed
really?
It.
Was that
crushed?
Wow.
It.
Line
was...
mistake of the year.
Oh, yeah. I made
well, that was
money.
Inside. That's why. Inside. It's air conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, explain something to me, Craig Scheman. I'm no math major.
Okay.
Since you went to Indiana University.
Yes.
The stat came out, I believe, on Friday. I was going over it. I was puzzled, confused, perplexed, bewildered. So, first day of instruction at IU is August 24th, right?
Okay.
That's what I have here.
Okay.
Now, all IU students are required to take a COVID 19 test 10 days before returning to campus and report results to IU. That would make it August 14th, which is 1 month from today.
Okay.
Really, or a month and a day from today.
Yes.
The problem I have is this. There are 32,794 graduates, and it goes well over 40,000 with grad students. So how in the name of the Lord are you going to tell me that sometime over the next, in the next month, they have a month, but they have to take a COVID test 10 days before returning to school. That's August 14th.
Right.
So if they start on August 14th, you're going to get 40,000 kids to get tested for COVID?
Probably.
That's a lot.
And
get the results back in time, which now we know is off the charts slow again all over the country, no matter where you are, including in Southwest Florida.
Well, I think wherever your kids are at home, through their doctors, they're going to have to get a COVID test, much like you have to show vaccination records as a freshman before you roll into campus. And you're also going to have your COVID test as well.
Yeah, I get having the test. I'm saying August 14th, 10 days before returning. That's not a lot of leeway before you go back to school. You may not get them back within 10
days.
You might not get them back within 10 days if you start on the 14th.
No, but unless I'm misunderstanding, you get it done before the 14th.
No. He said, but you have to, right. But you can only get that test starting on the 4th.
Oh. Yeah.
No, the 14th, 10 days before. Those classes start August 24th.
Okay, so
you have to get tested
same
10
deal.
Days before.
Yeah. Same deal, though. So they've only, a positive or a negative test on the 12th does them no good. They still have to go back and get tested on the 14th.
That sounds
a
little tight. But, I mean, you could say that about everything here. You get a test on Monday. Let's say you hear by Friday you're negative, but then Saturday you go out and you get it. You get the virus. I mean, that's what I question about all these people.
Well, I agree. That's why it's so silly sometimes the way some of this is done. I don't know what they're going to try and accomplish here, because you could go 2 days in a row, test negative, and go out somewhere and still have it. So it's just, You got, look, it's not going anywhere. This thing is going to be with us for a long, long time, and we're just going to have to fight through it. And but I do fear that high school football and college football and even the NFL are in serious jeopardy. I never would have thought that a month ago, a month and a half ago, but I really feel that we're at that point right now.
Well,
overly cautious. Maybe it's the right thing to do. I don't know what the exact right answer is, but I fear that we are not going to have football of any kind this year.
The two good things, I think, for getting football back on the field, one, we know what the college athletic model without college football looks like.
Yeah.
It crumbles.
Right.
So they're put in a place where maybe it's not a full schedule this fall. Maybe it's like what the Ivy League does, where most teams are playing in the spring. But like they've really got to have that income coming in during this academic calendar, the 2020-2021 academic calendar. They've got to have that. And we've talked about it with the NFL. Take the first month of the season, pick it up, go put it at the end of the season. You can do that.
Right.
It can work. So I have no doubt that it'll be altered. It'll be changed. It'll look a little bit different. But I don't see a way that college athletics can stand up this year without any form of football being played.
No, I agree. And again, to your point, and there's many of these examples. Iowa State AD Jamie Pollard, he came out today about an hour ago, said if there's no fall sports, Iowa State's athletic department would lose about $40 million. Also, since the start of the COVID, through August 23rd, 2020, the university's revenue losses and costs were estimated to be an additional $73 million. I can tell you this, if that all comes to fruition, it'd probably be more for other schools, especially the Power 5 school. That's a Power 5 school. You're talking about an additional $73 million. Guess what? You'll have two sports left, maybe three, in your respective colleges, universities. Football, basketball, and maybe baseball. Some areas, maybe hockey. And that's it.
You won't have
any other sports for a long, long time. That's it.
I have a question about the numbers. Yeah. Okay, if Iowa says they're going to lose, what was it, $40 million?
Iowa State, $40 million, I mean, and maybe up to as much as $73
okay.
million.
I kind of question those numbers, because if you're not having the sports, you're not having the expenses. So, I mean, is it revenue? Is it loss? You still got to pay your coaches who are under contract. Although I did see that
you still got to pay for all of the scholarships.
Yeah, Mike Novell took a 25% pay cut
today. Yeah, I was just going to say, Novell took a big one there. That's the biggest one I've heard.
Yeah,
most coaches
it is the
have
biggest
been in the
one.
10 to 15 range.
Yeah, I think Michigan, Juwan Howard, and Harbaugh both announced that they're taking a 10% cut.
Right. That seems to be standard.
But, you know, the argument, you know, they always say about playing, you know, the FCS teams, and, I get all over the SEC because why not schedule Division I? I mean, I understand it. I mean, I'm kind of half tongue-in-cheek with it, but I understand. And we went through all those teams. Just from the FCS, they're going to lose $500,000, $600,000, maybe even a little bit more. That funds their entire athletic program, or most of it, for the year. And then in the MAC conference last week, I mean, John Steinbrecher, the commissioner out there, you know, you got, you know, Ohio and Akron and Bowling Green, those schools play Western Michigan, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan. They play sometimes two Big Ten teams. They're gonna lose like $4 or $5 million in those games, and they can't afford to lose that kind of money. And that's not a Power Five school, but it's still a Division One school and a non-Power Five conference, and that's going to kill their athletic budget too, their athletic programs, like Stanford.
So with all these question marks, Big Ten, Pac-12, and the ACC and the SEC, we have I have some good news. Apparently the Big 12 is going to show us the way. Oklahoma, while everybody's talking about pushing things back, delay, Oklahoma has announced it wants its season opener against Missouri State to be a week earlier. It was September 5th. They want it to be August 29th. They say that this will then set up a bye week after each of its first two games. So two games in 4 weeks. And that will give them time to regroup in between each game, retest everybody, and see how they're doing. So they're pushing to start the season earlier. Thought that was
not going to happen.
A little bit of good news.
I know.
It seems totally on a different plane than everybody else. But
Well, the other thing, I don't know if you heard the part last week. I thought it was an interesting concept, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I thought interesting out of the ACC, where, and it wasn't so much that came out of John Swofford's mouth, the commissioner, but someone had heard that they were looking to play 10 games. However, it could be against just five teams and a home-and-home series. which I don't know how that comes out to me, and say all the Power Fives did that, which I think would be better than that than have no football. I'd rather have that.
Yeah.
At least it's another, maybe it's plan, you know, there's plan A, B, C, and D. Maybe this is plan, you know, X, but still, I find that rather interesting if that happened. And you know the Big Ten wants to push up all the divisional games up front first.
Yeah.
So they can get them out of the way, which I think it would be great for Michigan. Play Ohio State first week and get that loss out of the way. That way you can focus on the rest.
That's horrible.
You know.
No, that would be the best time to play Ohio State early. Get them early. Maybe they're not organized. And when you play Ohio State at the end of the season, they are a fine-tuned machine that's going to put 70 on you. Get them in September when they're still rusty, when they haven't been practicing all summer long. That's when they got to get them.
Can we go back to the Oklahoma thing real quick?
Yeah.
Because, Pete, you kind of dismissed it. And it makes sense, though, doesn't it? To give yourself 2 weeks between games, so if you do have any sort of positive test or any sort of bloom, you've got time where you can actually put a competitive team back out on the field 2 weeks later.
But it seems I agree with the premise.
It's a starting early thing.
But everybody else is like, we got to stop, delay. I mean, it's like they're planning.
But that doesn't mean that those people are right. Nobody knows what the right thing to do is. Now, there's a more cautious approach, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the correct approach.
Okay, so what if Bob Boldsby gets this going in the Big 12? And you might be right, Chris. Maybe every conference has their own set of rules. Who knows? In which case, I don't know how you're going to decide a national champion with four teams, and we'll get to that in a second because I had an interesting quote last week. Okay, so say the Big 12 does do that, but the Big 10 says, and the ACC and the SEC said, no, we don't want to do that. We'll go with the 10-game schedule, and we'll schedule our own way. Each conference, which will cause havoc with networks and everything else, but that's a different story. But I could see every conference adopting their own philosophy.
Force majeure.
Well, yeah, but that's my point with that is it's like, let's not just, you know, dismiss Oklahoma for trying something new because...
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not. I think you're right. It's the term start early that I don't know. I don't know what early is.
Here's the deal. It reminds me of Gundy at Oklahoma State and Iowa saying back in March, we're guns ablaze in June 1st. We got to get back.
With full stadiums.
And then we all know June 1st comes and everybody's testing positive and the shutdown. It just seems like it's on a different plane, not tone deaf, but on a different plane from where the direction everybody else is going in. I hope it's true. I hope the Big 12 steps up. I hope Oklahoma can start on August 29th. Believe me, if I'm watching an Oklahoma football game on August 29th, that's a good sign.
I'd love
it. That's a good sign for everybody else.
And guess what? I'll lay the 39.5 points easily. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, more importantly, while Pete was talking, I didn't want to interrupt you. Southampton scored a goal against Man U up 1-0, which right before it happened, I also doubled down. So I got two pieces of action.
You went the over, huh?
I got the over. I'm okay with this
goal.
Not
great, not terrible. You'd love it the other way, but yeah, I get you.
So give me a nice 2-1 or 3-1 victory by Man U.
No, you need 3-1. 3-1.
Well, I can go push, you know, whatever.
You're not greedy.
But, you know, the other thing I'm wondering with you know, not just the Big Ten, because I think all the conferences are going to sort of follow that. Oh, my God. I'm not watching it.
Oh, he's offside. He's offside. Stop.
Son of a...
son of an offside.
Dang it. All right, what were you saying?
But you guys, does moving games around, does it really solve the problem? And especially, let's just look at the Big Ten. Nebraska and Rutgers, I mean, that's a long way. I mean, how does...
Yeah.
And Texas, how about in the SEC? Texas A&M and South Carolina. I mean, these are... fairly long distances. I don't know, moving games around, if that really is going to solve, you know, the problem here.
Well,
you guys
we had a texter a moment ago that says, I don't get it. They're still traveling. But by and large, they're much shorter trips. But aren't they on their own planes anyway? Whether it's a 2-hour flight or a 1-hour flight.
They're not shorter trips if you're Rutgers or Nebraska.
But again... If Nebraska is going to make a 3-hour flight to Rutgers on its own plane that nobody else is on, what's the difference between that and a bus trip to Iowa?
I mean, I guess the difference is like Ohio State's non-conference game at Oregon this year.
But again, they're going to be on Ohio State's plane. Nobody else is going to be on it.
I know.
It's the same thing as flying to Ann Arbor. It's just longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's some there.
They're claiming safety first, that kind of stuff. I just don't know. Moving games around is going to mean all that much. I mean, I know they want to do as less travel as possible. I get it. You know, I understand it. So, but if you're moving games around, you're only going to a 10-game schedule, allegedly. And I still don't think it's going to be 10.
But
I think
with
it
the big boys
less.
Like a Michigan or Ohio State, yeah. If you're conference only, okay, now seven or eight of your games are at home. It seems like, I mean, you're well, I take that back. No, that's not true, is it? You'd be playing half.
Then you got a team like BYU. You got a team like BYU that only has seven opponents. They need three more. They only have enough to play. But if you're talking about, you know, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Indiana, Michigan State, Maryland, Rutgers, I mean, and you make a it really sucks for Rutgers. they got a lot of traveling to do.
Yeah.
In that division, but they want to make sure that all of those games, if there is a say those seven teams play in that round robin format at first, get those seven games out of the way. I just fear that may be the only games that they have is within the divisions, in which case you're going to have to expand the playoff for this year. There's no way you can just have four playoff teams. It won't happen.
I'll leave the Big Ten out. If you only play seven and everybody else is playing a full schedule, yeah. I'll leave you out.
I might be inclined to agree with that. Although I'm assuming the games you're leaving out aren't going to really... Okay, what, Michigan was going to play out at... Was it Washington or and then?
Yeah, I think
Ohio
Michigan
State's
was playing Washington.
Those games can help you.
Miami was going to East Lansing. Yeah.
But so by and large, if you wipe out any non-conference games, those are cupcake games.
Yeah, but they were talking about giving automatic wins against FCS teams two victories. I heard that theory thrown out there too. They were going to award two wins.
So help me, if we come up with a complicated formula for the committee to sit down, well, this win is actually worth two wins, and this loss is worth. Well, I'm gonna pull my hair out.
We'll start getting.
And of course, if you're playing a Rutgers like that, I mean, from the Big Ten, and you get to play Rutgers, and maybe other teams don't, you know, that's almost like an automatic win. I mean, I know they're a new coach; it's probably a different philosophy and all that stuff, but. Still,
and are we to presume the entire bowl season is just scrapped? Nobody
well, we don't
said
know.
A word
no,
about
no,
that
no,
yet.
Not at all. In fact, Rick Horwood and I had an interesting discussion about it on Thursday because I brought up to him the College Football Playoff Selection Committee Executive Director Bill Hancock said last week said the existing protocol is in place. Big pause for now.
Let's use Indiana for example. You play four cupcakes, you get two wins in the Big Ten in the conference. There's your six wins. You're going bowling. You've just eliminated the wins from the non-conference teams. And so I'm wondering, is the regular bowl season gonna happen?
Well, Rick Horwood was talking about, and I kind of agree with him. He was talking about 16 teams possibly because of using all those bowl games because they're going to need the revenue. Plain and simple, they are going to need the revenue if this is going the way we think it's going to go. So at least for 1 year, guys, they would probably implement some sort of a kooky playoff system.
Yeah, four wins get you bowling.
Yeah, get you bowling.
Go!
No offsides. Go!
No offsides on that one.
We're 1-1, everybody. 20 minutes in.
Who's we?
He's a Red Devil now.
He's become this humongous soccer fan in the last since the Skittles.
It's all about laundry.
Well, there's nothing else going on.
I love it.
And let's not forget that July 11th, the national championship game is down in Miami at Hard Rock.
January.
It'd be so unfortunate. I mean, for the Hurricanes not to have to play. Imagine the Hurricanes having to play Florida for the national championship this year. Like
in front of nobody.
Wait a minute. What was the scenario you just said? Miami?
Oh, you heard it.
Okay. All right. Drug test him.
Well, hold on. I did say USC would be in the playoff this year, which if it's an expanded playoff, I've got a shot. I've got a road to
I think you do. With an expanded playoff, absolutely.
Hold on. Could you reread your action? Because that could get you in on a technicality. How did we word that?
Quote, USC will be in the College Football Playoff. I said that 3/21 on 6/30.
So if it is 16 teams, and I'm gonna put somebody in the Pac-10.
If I'm dancing, I'm dancing. That's all I care about.
Well, you bet. I'll tell you what.
That's a clean statement.
Yeah, I think we have to allow it.
But
man, if they don't get in, if they're not in at 16 or in the top 16, yeah, that is real. real issues there.
I can't wait for that quote to go down off that board. That was a bad one.
I actually saw the words coming out of your mouth in slow motion, and you were trying to grab them like a tug rope and trying to pull them back, like tug of war, trying to pull them back in. Like, oh, I can't believe I'm saying this. But it was
further,
out there.
Upon further review.
And then you decided to hold your ground.
Yeah, I think Oregon's going to be pretty good this year, too.
And, you know, good news for Georgia today. You saw that.
I don't know. JT Daniels is
immediately eligible to play. So now you have him and Jamie Newman, the transfer from Wake. Georgia's in real, real good shape at quarterback, it seems. And they also got Ole Miss commit Adonai Mitchell. He's headed to Georgia. He's a 3-star Tennessee recruit, rated as the number 161 receiver in the nation. Picked Georgia over Auburn. You know what sucked the other day? Oh, last week at night, I guess, for whatever reason.
My over-under is now a push with 23 minutes in. This is spectacular.
You're welcome.
You're good.
Thank
that
you,
music's going to kill him.
Okay, back to what you were saying.
I forgot. Well, you were talking about Georgia quarterbacks.
Georgia quarterbacks, yeah, and they're in really, really good shape. Heading in this season with Jamie Newman and Fields. So that's
none of the three quarterbacks at Georgia are as good as Kyle Trask at Florida. That's why the Gators are my pick to win that side of the SEC. Craig, your Georgia statement this year, I agree with it. You were wrong last year. Yeah, you could say it this year.
Was right.
You can say it this year, and I'm cool with it.
Dopey has checked in. He says, I thought this whole pandemic thing was bad, but listening to Craig get excited and actually have knowledge about soccer now is disgusting. He actually enjoys saying goal instead of just being obnoxious.
He loves it.
Quote unquote.
It's terrible. It's unbelievable.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
This has changed all of our sports viewing habits.
Yeah.
Easily.
I mean, we were wagering on fake Madden football 2 months ago.
Which, looking back on that, terrible idea.
Absolutely terrible.
Awful idea.
You did okay with it, though.
I did better in that than I did the real NFL.
As bad as I was in the real NFL, I was worse in the simulated NFL.
Because you know what it was? Because with the simulation, the computer knew how the game was supposed to go.
Right.
As do I. But that doesn't happen in real life. So I actually did better in Madden simulations than real life. Dumpster Fire says now call me Craig World Cup Shaman.
Oh, speaking of, 70 years ago today, the first World Cup kicked off in Uruguay.
In 1950.
Oh. No.
You said no, 70 years ago.
90
today?
Years ago. It was 1930.
Nice adjustment.
It was 1930. Anyway, so we will be doing international soccer trivia today for Wikipedia.
Oh, we will. I haven't even looked at this.
God.
No, they start off pretty easy.
Pete's not going to be able to get
right.
These.
No, they start off pretty
World Cup,
easy.
The World Cup stuff I'm pretty good with, but we'll see.
The last few are hard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I would whiff on every one of these.
No, you'd get the first one.
Okay. Oh,
maybe.
Yeah, I would. I would.
Maybe.
I would get the first one. You're correct.
By the way,
I mean,
yesterday.
I am the new soccer expert on the show. Fact.
I know we got quizzes and lists and all that stuff, lots of college football, but real quick before we go to break, I mean, Colin Morikawa and Justin Thomas yesterday, those might be some of the most clutch putts I have ever seen in my life. In my life.
Yeah.
You know, as far as distance and timing, I mean, that was unbelievable. Unbelievable to see that.
Colin Morikawa is quickly making a name for himself on the tour. Like, coming out as he was one of three rookies on the tour this year that there was some expectation. It was him, it was Matthew Wolf, and Victor Hovland.
Didn't he choke on the putt on the first match back since the pandemic and lost on the playoffs? Playoff hole.
So Hovland and Wolf had a lot of hype, more so than Morikawa. But Morikawa has been spectacular. I believe he's played 24 PGA Tour events as a pro. He's made the cut in 23 of them.
Solid.
Yeah,
it's an unbelievable start to his career.
I thought it was interesting last week. I brought it up, I think, on Thursday that, you know, they're playing back-to-back at the Memorial, coming back this week, but they shortened the course last week. Last week, the course was shortened. What, another goal?
Now the PGA they said that no fans now.
Rest of the year.
No. Yeah.
That does not apply to the Masters or the U.S. Open. But
correct.
For the rest of the PGA, because they were going to bring them back, was it this week or like next week? Fans
They were going to come back to Memorial this week.
This week.
Yeah, well, they changed. I think they announced that about 10 days ago that they weren't going to have fans at the Memorial. Now it's just throughout the PGA. But the course this week will be longer than last week. So it was interesting how they, and I don't know if it's just a case of moving the tee boxes, but holy cow, guys are hitting 350, 356 off the tee. Well, it's insane.
What DeChambeau's done post-coronavirus hiatus is just, it's terrifying how far that guy is hitting the golf ball right
like
now.
It's like Popeye. Yeah. You know Popeye does. Is?
Yeah. Well, I do. I don't know if Chris does. All right, very good. So when we come back, we've got Pete's got a couple college football quizzes. We'll continue that conversation. As far as I'm concerned, it is like the Super Bowl of soccer right now. We got Man U up on Southampton 2-1 in the 28th minute for those that are concerned with such things. And also, I'll let you know that if you missed the first hour, make sure you go back and listen to it. We've got Sheeman and Shepherd on demand, people. Available at the 99.3 ESPN app, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. One of the great songs of summer by Chicago. Oh, love it.
Awesome. Band.
Man, you up 2-1 still, just for those of you keeping score. We're going to continue talking some college football. Pete's got a couple college football quizzes to do.
Yeah.
And also, you know, as I mentioned earlier, how the Patriot League just canceled all fall sports. Isn't that Commissioner Jennifer Heppel? Wasn't she like the last one to pull the basketball players off the court? Am I confusing my female AD?
The Big East was.
Okay.
The Big East was.
Okay, very good.
Remember Providence St. John's?
Yeah. Right?
It was halftime of Creighton, I think, at somebody. And PC,
they canceled them at halftime.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Chris, Leon County.
Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
Starting tomorrow, all athletic training programs and practices will be canceled for the rest of the summer. We will make a final decision on fall sports in the coming weeks. And our buddy Alex Martin was saying that the Oasis Sharks scheduled to play Mackley on August 21st. So if Leon makes the call to cancel or postpone fall sports, I can't envision other hard-hit counties in the state not following
Leon.
So
where is
this,
and where is it in relation to Miami?
Tallahassee. Leon County is Tallahassee.
Okay.
Yep.
And I do not know what their numbers in that county are like.
You're the numbers guy.
Well, I had it pulled up today, actually. By the way, total positive tests were down in the state. And our positive test percentage is also going down as well.
That's four straight days.
What was the number today?
The number today was 12,343 positive cases. These are actually the numbers from the 12th.
A week ago, I would have been appalled at a number of 12,000. Now today, that's a good number.
But they're down. I think it's 4 days in a row, or if not five, that they are down.
In the positive percentage category, like there was a big deal when, because we surpassed 15,000 positive cases on
Sunday.
Was Saturday's number. But this is what upsets me, is instead of getting the full picture, I'm just hearing, okay, that's the best. Well, we also tested almost 150,000 people in the state, so the actual positive percentage number was down around 12%, where it had gotten as high as 20% like early parts of 2 weeks prior. So again, you know, okay, we had 12,343 positive tests on the 12th. We tested over 112,000 people. So yeah, 12,000 positive tests. That's a lot. But we had over 100,000 negative tests right there.
Why is nobody other than us reporting it? Look, I get there's a percentage of media out there that it's all about the election. I get it. Put that aside. Why is nobody, literally nobody, reporting what you just said except us?
I don't know. It's hospitalization rates. Like right now, they're fine right now on our coast. I get that Miami is getting close to 90% capacity or, you know, anything like that. But it's just, it's frustrating. It's frustrating because it's like it's a moving target, right? And I'm not talking about us. I'm just talking about when you listen to talking heads, right? At first it was, well, we got to get the testing, right? Well, now that we have the testing and we're getting positive results, it's like, well, of course we're testing them. We're knowing who it is. I don't know. And what's frustrating for me about all this, and I don't want to get on a soapbox or anything, but it's like, you don't even know who to trust anymore. Like,
no,
you
well, really, that's just it.
And
no,
that's what's frustrating about this is I just go and I – that's why I've gotten to this point where I just go floridadisaster.org. They publish a daily COVID-19 report, and that's where I get my numbers from. And I don't want to listen to anybody else. Spin it however you want to spin it. Yeah. I'll look at the actual numbers and give you what they are in this state.
Right. I'm with you. And I'm just sick and tired of everybody around the country, Facebook, social media people, at least not all of my friends, but some of them. And some other people, the way they criticize this state. And it's not everybody's in the same boat, all right? It is very different where we live here in Southwest Florida than on the East Coast. Fact. It just is. It just is. Not to say it's not an impact, but it's a lot different between there and even, you know, other parts of the state. And, you know, people are, like, spitting at this whole state. Like, see, they're all pointing the finger. Yeah, we told you so. We told you so.
Yeah, congrats.
Well, but now I heard yesterday New York City had zero new cases yesterday. Do you believe that number?
That's great.
No.
It is
fantastic. No, I don't believe
it.
I don't believe that, though.
I'm glad.
I hope it's true.
I hope it's true. But I don't know. Like you said earlier, I don't know who to believe.
I don't know who to believe. And that's the sad part of it, right?
Yeah.
So another thing going on, we just told you about Leon County in high school football. It doesn't look good up there, and there, you know, guys like Alex Martin who are dug in, and others about, you know, it might have a trickle down effect for the entire state. Also, all California counties are ordered to close some indoor sectors. 30 counties, including Los Angeles, are also asked to close indoor activities at gyms, places of worship, personal care services, and malls.
Ask though, so that's a different word though. Ask, not demanded.
Yeah, right. But sources at Pac-12 schools are calling to Pete Thamel of Yahoo in California, exploring the impact of gym closings on campus could impact voluntary workouts.
All right.
So I'm looking right now, again, at the FloridaDisaster.gov website that they put out, and Leon County, who we just said that, you know, they announced that their fall sports will be canceled, right? Or they're going to make the call tomorrow?
They're going to make the call. Yeah, they're going to make the call. Starting tomorrow, all athletic training programs and practices will be canceled for the rest of the summer. They'll make a final decision on fall sports in the coming weeks.
Okay. They've had 4 deaths in that county.
Oh, I got a couple of texts that said it was 0 deaths in New York City, not cases. So thank you for the clarification. But still, good news if it's true, or it makes you wonder where things just not reported for a weekend.
And Leon County has had almost 2,400 cases compared to what Lee County has had, which is over 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that, you know? No, if they're setting the trend, though, if Leon County is the one setting the trend and they're saying, well, we've had 4,000 total cases in our county,
How
do you look at Dave, Lee, how do you look at those counties that have been harder hit and say that they're going to play fall sports?
I don't know.
Yep, that's what I mean. It's a bad sign. It's a bad sign that it's going to, because I think it will have a trickle-down effect. Fair or not, I think it's going to have a trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
It really, really stinks. I was just going to ask you guys, and I know we're, but I posed this question on Friday, and Chris, your kids, maybe you're not old enough yet, but Craig, how would you guys feel right now today on July 13th, would you feel comfortable sending your kids out to play youth sports, high school sports, band, choir, whatever it is, would you do it? Would you feel comfortable? And I'm not judging, and I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer, but how would you two feel about it?
We might do it, and I say might, but I would not. I would have a little bit of uneasiness about it. Look, I told you, we were having this discussion this week while I was off with my kids. My wife and I feel good about sending my kids into school with hundreds and thousands of other kids around you? I mean, the odds are you're going to get it. The odds are you're going to get it. But I don't know. But again, to Chris's point, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm a parent, and I love my kids, and I got to make sure I'm doing what's best for them, and I don't know what to do.
Pete, I'll answer the question. Neither one of my kids have any sort of respiratory issue. I don't have any sort of respiratory issue. My wife does not. People that we interact with do not have any underlying conditions. I'd feel comfortable as long as they're taking their temperature before going into practice or going to class, whatever it is. I would feel comfortable. But I don't want people to think that, you know, I'm saying that everybody should be comfortable with that. That's
sure.
That's the point of this, I think.
Well, there isn't. There isn't a right or wrong answer.
Yeah, if you feel comfortable and you think that going, you know, wearing your mask, using the hand sanitizer, all that, and wiping down surfaces, and I don't want to get into data on that helps or it doesn't help or anything like that. I think if you're being safe about it, I feel comfortable with it. That's not to say that you should feel that way or you shouldn't feel that way. I think that you have to look at it. Who's in your immediate family? How would they react to this?
Yeah. Well, based on the numbers. Again, let's say little Ev and Craig, say your son was a freshman. Say they're both freshmen at Fort Myers High, just for bleeps and giggles, okay?
Right.
They're freshmen going to their freshman year at Fort Myers High School to play football for right now. Would both you and your wives feel comfortable allowing your kid to play football?
I don't comfortable, no, but does that mean I wouldn't let them do it? That's not the same answer. And look, I got the same situation. Look, even if my kids are fine, and I hear that, you know, the death rate for kids is practically zero, right? But still have to get it. You know, now I can't see my 70-plus-year-old parents. Because, you know, we didn't go visit them while I was on vacation because, first of all, you know, I didn't know how people you know, there were some situations going on here in the building, and I didn't know if I was, you know, contact trace, you know, whatever. I just was careful this past week while I was gone. But now I have to be careful because now I'm sending my kids out into the world, and they're going to be around people. The chances are they're going to be exposed to something, whether it's football or marching band or the classroom. And now you're always on this 14-day watch. All right, well, I was clear on this day. Can I go visit grandparents on this day? You know, that's how the next 6 months are going to be. So to answer your question, no, I don't think I'm totally comfortable yet. But does that mean I would say absolutely no, you can't do anything? I'm not there yet either.
But I also, you know, there's a lot of kids that don't need football. There are some kids out there that, you know, football is going to be their ride to college. And I'm not talking about the kids that go and play Florida and have aspirations of the NFL.
But a free ride at FIU is pretty good. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the kid that I feel for this fall if you don't have high school football. Is what about that late blooming junior, right, who had a nice end of last season but doesn't get to show off that he's actually good enough to go play college ball and doesn't get to go to the caliber of university or college that he wanted to go to? That's... You know, so I think
unless he goes and tries to make it as a walk-on. I mean, but absolutely. I brought that up last week, too. It's a great point, Chris. I mean, that you feel bad for anybody in any extracurricular activities. It doesn't have to be sports, like you said, last week. It could be choir, it could be band. I don't care if it's, you know, pivot pool. I don't care what it is. You feel bad for everybody that can't participate. But then you have, you know, the kids on the precipice at any sport of going to that next level, and they're tweeners. They're just, you know, they might have that bust out year, and now we'll never know if they have that bust out year or not, no matter what sport it is.
But it's like, who was the, Buster Posey, right? He announced that he's not going to go play. He's got two twins that were born prematurely, and his physician said, yeah, there's some risk there.
Right.
Totally get it.
Nobody will criticize him for it.
He made the right choice there.
Right.
The only person that I've seen make a selfish choice for not going to the bubble was the Alex Bertans, because he didn't want to hurt himself going into free agency.
Right.
That's the only one where I've gone, that's a little weak. And everything else I've seen has been, okay, that's legitimate.
I guess a good point. I think it's a good point. All right. I know Pete sells a couple college football quizzes. Yeah. I want to get to those. We had an engaging conversation that I thought was worth it there, and we've run a little bit long. We'll do that when we come back. More college football. Stay with us. We're all back on a Monday. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. The whole gang back together. Well, sort of.
How about that?
I mean, you're still in Bonita. I'm still here in Estero. Chris is in Estero. But we're all here on the air. You know, usually when you get a break, like I had from school or whatever, you're glad not to take any tests or quizzes. But I've missed the Pete Shepherd quizzes, so we're gonna do a couple college football quizzes.
The first one might be the toughest one I've given you yet. Now, next hour, we'll do another one that's a little more fun. I think you'll have a better chance at it. But this arguably is a pretty tough one. Probably, and it's just a coincidence that it looks like Wikipedia is going to be very tough for me today as well. But
yeah,
this is a tough one. I'm going to predict you get one of these answers correct. One.
What do we have? Five to pick for, or four or five questions?
Yeah, well,
usually?
You'll see when I give you the quiz. When I give
okay.
you the question.
All right, let it rip.
This is a quiz.
All right. For today's quiz, we move to the other side of the ball because I've asked you the
defense.
Last 3 weeks to name the top five returning quarterbacks, wide receivers, and rushing, you know, in terms of touch. What happened?
No, this is going to be
he's
very difficult.
He's already sweating this out.
Oh, wow.
Keep going. Keep going.
Okay.
So we're going to move to the other side of the ball in the Power Fives. And can you name the defenders returning in 2020 who lead the Power Five conferences in interceptions from 2019?
Okay.
So we begin. I'm going to do. Let's start with the. Let's start go alphabetical order here. Let's start with the ACC. This is a tough one. This is just a tough one. This is a tough one. There's only one person. A couple of them have several names. This one had five. This kid had five interceptions last year in the ACC. Led the is a returning defender with the most picks.
All right.
I don't know if he even played, but he's the one secondary player I know in the ACC. So let's go Benny Blades.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think it was right.
Is that a good stab?
Yeah. You
These
won't
are
going to
be stabs.
Yeah. You care to take a stab? I'll even give you one guess at a player's name, and then I'll give you another guess at a school. How about that?
This
is tough.
All right. Yeah, we're going to need some hints on this stuff here.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
So I'll give you – go ahead.
Why not?
I gave you one
hit,
five interceptions.
He's got nothing.
He had five interceptions?
Five interceptions, just one per. Well, at the very least, name a school. If you can't think of a name, just name a school. In the ACC.
I don't know, like Syracuse in the Dome. I don't.
You're right.
It was Syracuse?
Yes.
That was out of my derriere.
What a dink. Andre Sisco. Led
the ACC. Sisco!
Five interceptions last year.
Oh, great.
All right.
never would have got it. Hey, he spotted me
right.
The conference and the
I can't school. Believe you said. I can't believe you said Syracuse.
I just started up. I was going to work my way from north to south. That's all I,
all right.
that's
what,
all
and
I got.
You stopped at one?
All right.
Also, okay, now we still deal with the Big 12. Also, let's see, these two players led the Big 12 last year with also five interceptions.
Douglas Coleman III.
No.
That
Craig?
Was quite a specific Douglas
Coleman. Plays for Baylor. Good DB.
Yeah. I got a blank. Totally
okay.
blank.
Okay, well, all right. Both of you give me a school in the Big 12. Again, two
State.
Players, five picks.
Oak State.
Jesus, he did it again.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Yes, and okay, it's kind of like a name like Chris just mentioned, too. Colby Harvell Peel.
Oh.
Oklahoma State Cowboy.
Okay.
Five picks.
All right.
And one other one. Let's see if Chris can get the school.
Yeah, Chris, you got to pick up your
Texas
end of the deal.
Tech.
No, but Craig, I'll give you one more guess.
Wright State?
That's too weird. I can't give you that.
Yeah, Texas.
No, TCU. No.
Oh, Wright State.
They don't
yeah,
play
Wright
defense
State.
In Texas,
no.
Craig.
No, they don't.
Oh, come on. What are you doing, man?
Well, apparently, Colby Harvell Peel at Oklahoma State had five picks, and Ardarius Washington at TCU also had five interceptions.
Very good.
Hang on. See. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, eight guys in the Big Ten had three interceptions. Just by process of elimination.
Seriously, eight guys?
Eight guys. Can you name any of the names first? Go. A name. Anybody. Again, these are defenders involving returning defenders with the most interceptions last year. Big Ten. Eight players. Three picks.
Don't say Ohio State because all of their guys went to the NFL.
All of them?
That is true.
Well,
there
both corners did,
anyone
yeah.
from Ohio State here?
Yeah, Arnett and Okuda. I don't know. I can't name a player.
All right, just name a school.
Michigan.
There is one from Michigan, Ambry Thomas. Craig?
How about Indiana?
No.
No, come on. It's a football
Close.
School. Purdue.
Oh, Purdue.
Purdue had two.
Ooh.
Really?
Dedrick Mackey and
a relation
Corey
to Mackey
Price.
Arena?
No.
Corey Price and Dedrick Mackey.
All right.
couple more, a few more.
Got nothing.
Name a school. There's two more. There's two more from one other Big Ten school.
Rutgers.
No.
A very good program.
Usually.
That's solid.
Penn State.
No.
Wisconsin.
Yes. Jack Sanborn and Eric Burrell. Both had three picks. Again, these all have three picks. So we got that out of the way. Let's see. We got a couple. We got a few more here. We got, one, two.
Ooh, I think
we got three
know.
More here. Three more. Name me the school.
Oh. Sorry, that just ended.
nobody from Rutgers, by the way. So
I don't know. Just tell us the Big Ten.
All right. Cam Taylor Britt from Nebraska, Sidney Brown from Illinois, and Blake Gallagher from Northwestern.
Great. Northwestern.
All right, Pac-12. One, two, three, four, five, seven players all
oh
had four
gosh.
Picks.
Oh, my gosh. No, just –
Seven players. Give me a school. You each get one guess of the school.
Oregon.
Yes. Yes, they did. They are two. Javon Holland and Verone McKinley III. Both of them from Oregon.
Cal,
no.
Oh, there goes my
Craig.
Southern Cal.
Yes, one. Isaiah Polameo.
Isaiah, US. Zeke.
Yep, Isaiah Polameo. I don't know what that means.
No, Ezekiel is Zeke.
No, Isaiah Thomas's nickname was Zeke. So Isaiah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think you're right.
I am right.
All right, from the state of Washington, Skylar Thomas at Washington State, Elijah Molden from Washington, and one other school, Paulison Adebo from Stanford.
A lot of North players.
Yeah.
All right, there's one player from the SEC. He had six interceptions last year. I know you know this guy. And he's going to be a freaking stud. He will be absolutely a first-round pick next year.
Is it – wait, next year?
Well, he's coming back this year. Yeah, I mean, after the draft. He's coming back to play this year.
The guy I was thinking of was actually a true freshman last year.
Yeah.
It was from LSU, number 24. Is it Singletary Jr., I think his name is?
No, I think you're right. He is a freshman, and it's right. So he won't be eligible for a couple of years. No, it's Derek Stingley Jr.
Derek Stingley Jr. Yes, he was fantastic. So if it's not him, do you go Pat Surtain II?
Well, Derek Stingley Jr. is the answer.
It is the answer.
Yeah, it is the answer. Yeah,
I was right.
Nailed yeah, you
it.
Were.
Nailed well, it.
I mean, I was thinking wrong, of the right person.
You had the right person. I think you had the right number too. Yeah, he had six picks. So that was a tough one. Next hour is another one. It's a little easier. Oh, all it's right. More fun. It may not be easier.
We have
but
an easier, more fun quiz. We'll update you on second half action from Man U and Southampton.
Must you?
Why not?
The Theater of Dreams, Craig. Old Trafford. That's where they're playing.
Really?
Yeah, just to add to your lexicon.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Why is it the Theater of Dreams?
It's where dreams come true.
In this particular stadium?
Not on this show.
Yeah.
Not on this show?
Super late.
Oh, yeah. Sheeman to Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I'm a little rusty.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.